It's the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb, hosted by me, Ropuwa Madzana, standing in for Nompusi Ziba. Coming up on the show this evening, a host of issues we'll be discussing, and we're going to be talking about alternative power solutions, and this is on the back of what we're seeing with Eskom, and we're going to focus specifically on wind power as a solution. We've spoken about solar and hydro, and we'll be focusing on wind this evening. We'll also be focusing on insurance claims that are on the rise, and this is of course on the back of those blackouts and the flooding that we've been seeing across different parts of the country. Personal loans also increasing by a significant number in the third quarter of this year, according to a report by TransUnion that has been released. And of course we'll take a look at the property sector, focusing specifically on residential property. But before we get into all of that, we'll be taking a look at how your markets perform today, and joining me to break this down is Simon Brown, who's the founder of Just One Lap. Simon, I don't know, was it an interesting or not interesting day on the markets? Just an overall look on how the markets performed today.
Evening. So we started a little bit weak. We saw some retailers and banks under pressure at stage six load shedding. Obviously, certainly hurts the retailers. They simply can't retail. It's just as simple as that. And they were coming under a bit of pressure. Most of the retailers, aside from Clicks, under pressure. The bank's taking a bit of pressure as well at the same time. I think that's around concerns around GDP, if we got all this load shedding happening. And then the Rand started to weaken, and the Rand lost about 19 cents out to 14.86 against the US dollar. And that was us. That wasn't a US dollar. That wasn't other emerging markets. It was just us. And that then spiked the resources, and we saw a massive run. Resource index ended up over 2% in the green, helped in part by palladium moving up to almost $1,900 an ounce, mentioned in the news, mines not producing, prices moving higher, and that then kind of caused some fear, some extra fear in the retailers. So resources out and out winner, and the rest of the market looking bleak.
Yeah, and I mean, that's on the local front, but what would you say some of the global factors were that contributed to the market performance that we saw today?
So globally, I think there's two large drivers. One is obviously the UK election next week. We saw October GDP out of the UK come in at exactly zero. The economy there is struggling. Politicians are promising 1,000 different solutions. We'll see who wins next week, likely Conservatives, and whether they actually implement. In the US, we've still got the new tariffs due to kick in on Sunday, and this was when President Trump announced them initially, then he paused some, but that December 15 deadline is still there, and the market's a bit spooked about that, because we now get into the point where when those go into place, pretty much everything's now being tariffed. The only question then comes is the percentage that he's placing tariffs on goods coming out of China. And that's causing some concern. So we saw a weaker S&P overnight. And right now, obviously, the impeachment story. But what we have seen, the good news is the new trade deal, and I forget its name, what replaced NAFTA, mm-hmm. is going forward. That's going to be signed. That should help. But it's all eyes at the moment on tariffs and whether we get a tweet that delays them or whether Monday we wake up to get more.
Let's bring it back home and focus on some company news. Tongaat releasing results, and we know Tongaat has had some headwinds in the recent years, notwithstanding the drought or cheap mm-hmm. sugar imports. What were some of the salient features that you picked out of those particular numbers?
That they were much worse than expected.
Yeah.
So the stock's been suspended since Mayish. They warned us back March, April that things were ugly. They were going to have to restate. The number that stood out back then was they were probably going to have write down of 3.5 to 4 billion ZAR, and they came in at 12 billion. Mm-hmm. So they came in three times worse than expected. They are technically insolvent. Their liabilities exceed their assets. They're going to need to do a 4 billion rights issue. So those are all of the scandal stuff around it. At the core, starch doing okay, as starch does. When I say okay, not excitingly okay, mm-hmm. just plodding along as starch does. Sugar struggling, we get that. There's still some drought in other markets. There's still pressure on sugar globally, price down, imports coming in, etc. And property, really disappointing, but property was a lot of the problem that had been, you know, in the past years, and they now only recognize when the money's in their account, now they recognize it. So operationally, a mixed to weak situation, but it really is all of the restating and the mess they're cleaning up. And that was a lot worse than expected. To me, one of the key points, aside from the significantly larger write-down and the 4 billion rights issue, is the share remains suspended, and they said they will, you know, apply to get it retrading. Now, these were results for March. They now owe us results for September, due at the end of December. The JSE will give them a leeway to end of Jan. I wonder if they're just not yet able to even publish those, perhaps into February. Otherwise, their share should start retrading, and it's going to be, unfortunately, a bit of a bloodbath, because those results, we were expecting ugly, and we got it in absolute dollops of it.
Yeah, not great news for investors in that particular company. But Naspers went to a briefing about a month or two ago about their drive to acquire SMEs globally, tech SMEs in particular. And I just want you to talk us through that drive and whether you think long term it's something that can be sustainable and actually contribute to Naspers' continued growth.
I think it absolutely is. I think this is the new Naspers. And we need to remember that Naspers today is really about Tencent. There are other assets, and they're talking about the Just Eats, and they've got the Mail.ru OLX and everything, but Tencent's the driver there. And of course, Tencent was a small little SME investment back in the day where they took a minority stake, and they now use the profits coming from that. And Tencent is a highly profitable company paying solid dividends, and they used that to you know, Chris Becker once said, to essentially throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And this is what they're going to do. What starts to happen is you start to build that culture, and the Naspers South African CEO, you know, yes, she's looking after Media 24 and the Take a Lot,
which don't contribute a lot, the Media 24.
They do not contribute a lot, and Take a Lot is loss-making. But her remit is basically to find local businesses. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they're in Amsterdam as well. And this is what they're going to look for. They're looking for... Look, if they find another 10 cent, then they deserve every kudo they ever get. They're looking for another tenth of a 10 cent. Mm-hmm. But as you get more skilled at picking and choosing and understanding, as you get, you know, you can start, synergy is a terrible word, but you start to see, hang on, that one, and we plug them in, or we've got a business here, and you start to build that scale in the sense, this is very much what the future of Naspers is. And it's a wonderful deep irony when you think that they came out of a, you know, Nationale print. I mean, they were the Afrikaans Boerebond newspapers. That was their origins. Now they're Chinese registered in Amsterdam, and buying up the little SMEs is what they're going to do. They're going to do some big deals. Just Eats, that sort of thing, you know, that's almost 100 billion ZAR that they're doing. But a lot of what they're also going to do is try and find those next big winners, or even just semi-winners in a case, because those are cheap. You know, the return on Tencent is the tens of thousands of percents. And that's become part of their DNA, particularly with the new CEO. He's now been there for a while, sitting in Amsterdam, but that's very much in their DNA these days.
They're cheap and they've got great potential. Let's talk a little bit about, finally, the mining companies. And you saw the story about them having to shut down overnight operations because of power supplies. And then combine that with the manufacturing data that we saw today, down about 0.8%. These are crucial sectors for the economy, and I wonder if investors are getting a little bit jittery about the trend that we're seeing and whether or not we're going to be falling back into a recession.
Yeah, so to answer the last question first, I think there's a real likelihood. You know, manufacturing typically has a lighter December simply because it's holidays and all the rest. Mining pretty much works through, and this is the last month of the quarter, but was October and November strong enough to give us a positive GDP read? I don't think so. I think there's a very strong likelihood that we will slip back into recession. That will give us the second in 2 years, which is frankly a horror show. And in fact, the third in three and a bit years. I can't see manufacturing, service, mining, as you say, they're closing down. We saw the palladium price running. We saw the rand weakening. We saw miners running hard. But as the gentleman was saying in the news, Implats is losing 100 million a day. And you can't simply, you can't take the risk. You know, at lower levels, at sort of stage 1, 2, 3, maybe stage 4 load shedding, you can send miners down because you've got the contingency plans. But once it starts to move to shedding 5, 6, heaven forbid, 7 or 8 megawatts because from the national grid, it just becomes too risky. And it's the right thing to do from a business perspective, but it's a poor, you know, it's not good for their results, and it's going to hurt. The irony, of course, is that it pushes the commodity price. It weakens the rand. So it might not hurt their profits at the end of the day in terms of mining companies, but it's going to hurt the production, and it's just going to be, yeah, to go back to the first point, can we avoid another second consecutive negative GDP number? It's going to be exceedingly hard for us to make that happen. It's also just consumer confidence. You know, 8 days of rain in Johannesburg, coupled with load shedding, consumers are not out there shopping up a storm.
No, that's true. And I think another important factor that we have to put in there is the fact that these mining companies have to continue to pay wages even though no work is being done in these crucial periods. Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lap, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Always a pleasure.